go ahead and tell them to start.
It looks like it's 10 o'clock, Linda, if you want to get started.
Yes, I would like to. Okay. It is Friday, April 3rd at 10 a.m., and I'm hereby calling to order the meeting of the Shore County Board of Supervisors. First, we ask for an adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
This is Lisa. So moved.
Second.
Okay. Kevin?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin, aye. Agenda's adopted. Thank you. Then I would, I need to, for the record, explain why the meeting in person is impossible and practical for Code Section 21.8.1. We're meeting via conference call, and all the supervisors are on conference call today. There are some other people on the conference call and some people in the public meeting room in the administration building from which we are initiating this call or originating the call. And we are having electronically due to recommendations to limit gatherings of no more than 10 people in order to help slow the spread of the COVID-19 virus. Public access is being provided via conference call to listen in to the meeting. We also have a texting number 515-451-7293. We did notice this meeting, but item 5 with 24-hour notice. We do have under item 7, we do have some materials that have been recently posted. We're not able to have those within 24 hours, but the meeting was noticed within 24 hours. Let's stop just a second here and make sure we know who all is on the line. My notes tell you who I got, and then Shelly, you add whoever else, and then we're going to ask other people if they can let us know. We have all three supervisors. We have staff, Shelly Delisle, Seth King, Nick Park, Ethan Anderson, and we have Wayne Twickerath, the county assessor. And is Barb there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. And who else is on the phone?
Brett McLean, Department of Affairs.
Brett, okay.
Auditor's Office, Lucy Martin and Lisa Markley are on.
Okay, thank you.
Taylor Rasmussen in the Treasurer's Office.
Good morning.
Joey Brocken and John Eichholt with Facilities Management.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Julie Erickson with the attorney.
Okay. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Hi, Lon Ball.
Hi, Todd. Anybody else? Okay, I think that's it then. We'll go on to agenda item 6, updates on COVID-19. And we do have a specific issue under 7, but are there any other issues that staff would like to bring up?
This is the Treasurer's Office. I just wanted to bring up with the governor's proclamation giving people the extra couple weeks for property taxes before the late fee would be assessed. We still have a fairly significant amount of property tax left to collect, close to 10%. Our attitude is people who have waited this long are probably going to wait until those last few days. So we are going to have to wait a little bit. And then another quick update is so we've been reaching out to most of our banks, and we will see a significant decline in investment income due to the lower interest rates. That is all that we have to update. Just wanted to let people know of those two.
Thank you. Are there any other staff, department heads, or elected officials that have updates?
This is Wayne, the assessor's office.
Who?
This is our hearing right now from April 2nd to April 30th. Yesterday, the director of revenue extended it to June 5th, where people can appeal their resolution. So,
Wayne, could you speak up? I think somebody's talking over you.
We're in the midst of our appeal period where we send out assessment notices, and then the public can appeal their value between April 2nd and April 30th. The Director of Revenue yesterday extended it to June 5th under disaster proclamation. So we're prepared for it.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you. If people aren't talking, I'm asked to ask that you mute your phone. I forgot to say that. I'm sorry. Are there any other updates from department heads or elected officials? Okay. If not, we'll go to the supervisors, and I'll ask the other supervisors first if they have any updates.
This is Laura. Good morning. I do. The HUD board met yesterday. Costs of individual trips are doubling to tripling due to the lack of additional riders on each trip. But the good news is that this $2 billion stimulus package specifically includes money for local transit. The Iowa DOT is working on the distribution details right now, and of course, Trump has to sign it first. But likely by early next week, HERD will know how much of the package HERD will be receiving. It's anticipated it might be around $200,000. Now, this money is supposed to be used to keep transit services running. The DOT is not doing those special emergency grants now. So that application for $51,000 from HERD was withdrawn. But this money will be in addition to what will continue to come in, which will be the regularly scheduled federal and state transit payments. Reminder that those payments are based on rides from 2 years ago. That's how the formula works. But the agency will still have to deal with some bills that are in the arrears, and senior staff are now spending their time, since there's not much transit going on, they're spending their time on working on a new model right now. New business model going forward, and part of that will be examining contracts and contract writers, or what they're called subscription writers, are like mainstream and progress industries, et cetera, some of the contracts. It's my understanding that the HERD staff did a verbal meeting with the asset admin team, or then 2 days ago now, okay? And so the asset team got a update about services, and you know, people are still getting rest, medical appointments, groceries, et cetera. The other thing is, and then I will pass this along to the EOC, if in fact the admin team has not already done it, or then maybe we duplicate. But part of this money for the stimulus package can be used for HERD to provide other types of transit and assistance, like moving food around the county for the food pantries, like if there are some projects that are appropriate in social distancing or whatever that private groups may be doing, say churches or whatever and stuff, to get volunteers out. And so that the one thing that HERD has, I my understanding, asked the asset team to pass along to everybody is HERD doesn't want those calls directly. They want it to run through some kind of organizing agency, whether it be a food pantry or United Way or whatever. So that's my update there. On the update about the poll that went out to the short survey that went out to the food pantries, I had 5 or 6 replies already. I will assemble those, and I will get those out to the supervisors and to the EOC. If it's ranging from we're doing fine to we are completely out of food. As far as then, they're also weighing in on the issue about the request for $20,000 donation from the Food Bank of Iowa itself. I have spoken to the contact at the Food Bank of Iowa. I will be putting that information in a memo to everybody because there's actually quite a bit of information that we talked about. That's my update.
Okay, thank you. And regarding Herta wanting somebody else to organize some of that, I think that's where the EOC does come in. Because I know they're right on trying to use central organizing for everybody to avoid duplication of services. So I think they'd be very glad to work with Herta. So thank you. Lisa?
No, I really don't. The one thing I've been just kind of monitoring is the child care issue. It seems that they've got that pretty well addressed through the EOC at this particular time, but still have some folks up that when I hear of any changes of any daycare centers or any other home entities that are potentially closing, I'm passing that on to the EOC. United Way has also been extremely involved in this as well. And we have not had another kind of conference call meeting. We had one about a week ago, I think it was, a week or week and a half ago that I reported on at our last board meeting. We have not had another one since then.
Okay. I'm going to bring up something now because I see we don't have future agenda items on this meeting, but this is an update, I guess, on COVID-19. We all know that the president has extended his emergency proclamation or whatever it's being called at that level through the stay at home through April 30th. Our working at home actions that we took at last Friday's board meeting only goes through April 13th. So I would like to put discussion and consideration of extending that on our meeting agenda for next Tuesday.
No, that's fine with me. Yeah, sounds like it's time to have a discussion.
It's time to have a discussion, at least. And that also, I would like to just send out a quick email. The health department has an elected official stating that will be on the agenda. Just as a heads up to think about where we would, you know, what you would need to do to change your plan at this point if we're going past April 13th.
I think that's what's smart of you, Linda. Keep everybody ahead of the game.
Okay. I will send an email to department heads and elected officials soon for done on this call.
Okay. Thank you. Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, now going on. Any other updates? Got it. Okay. I'm going to ask the other two supervisors. Did you get the invitation? The chamber is having just an informational call later today.
Yes, I received that. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
And, yeah. Thank you.
And it's informational only, so we'll need to be make sure not to do any discussion on that. But they just wanted us to be involved also. So okay, glad you got that.
Okay.
Next, item 7, discussion and consideration of items brought before the board with a request for immediate action. Sandra King, would you, thank you for the documents. Would you give us a quick explanation?
Yes, good morning, board. The topic before you today, is concerning the challenge that homeless shelters experience as they try and implement the CDC's guidelines regarding social distancing. The request today comes from the Emergency Residence Project, or ERP. And in order to effectively do that, they've had to shelter residents in hotels and motels. And they have a current remaining balance of allocated funds of $2,101.75. And this is combining the funds they have allocated for emergency sheltering and service coordination and rapid rehousing administration. These funds won't go very far. What they're asking is that they have the flexibility to draw those funds down and use them for the purpose of sheltering residents in hotels and motels rather than in their ERP facility. The asset admin team is working with ERP in this request and will bring before the board at a later date a request for additional funding because we know that those funds, that $10,000, won't completely meet the need. And asset dollars are not designed to cover, you know, everything that an agency might have, but is designed to assist. But we know these are unprecedented times, and many agencies are sort of in the same boat and will be making those future funding requests. So the asset admin team is working with them on that. In addition, we're sending out a survey to try and better understand the current status of these different agencies and what challenges they're encountering and the extent to which they have sought or know about other funding. In terms of future requests, because there are many asset-funded organizations facing similar challenges resulting from service disruptions related to COVID-19, these additional funding requests will come up. We're recommending that the board consider earmarking funds for that purpose. In terms of possible funding relief to the county, the Coronavirus Aid Relief and Economic Security Act, or CARES Act, makes additional funding available to FEMA, and it contains other components in the bill that provide funding for which the county and or asset agencies might be eligible. So we don't have complete details on that additional funding at this time, but believe the county may be eligible for some reimbursement from FEMA for a coronavirus response. So the board action requested today is in response to COVID-19 pandemic and is for a public purpose. We're requesting that the board amend the contract, ERP's contract, to allow ERP to use the remaining funds allocated of $10,101.75 for homeless shelter costs in hotels and motels. We also request that the board discuss and consider earmarking funds for addressing future funding requests related to COVID-19.
Other supervisors, I have some questions, but I'll let you go first.
This is Lisa. Sandra, I have a question. So I see that you're requesting for the hotel and motel up to $50 a day. Not to exceed that $10,101.75 in this modification. I guess my main question is that enough for a hotel?
They have negotiated that price of $50 a day from Ames Motor Lodge. And
gotcha.
It's not going to, you know, cover from now to the end of the fiscal year or anything like that, but it's a start to give them that flexibility to go ahead and address the needs that they have resulting from COVID-19 challenges.
Well, I had heard before after they were paying only $75, so $50 is a good deal. Any other questions?
I didn't hear that if that was a question.
I just said that if somebody has muted, okay. I just said that I had heard about last week, I had heard they were paying up to $75. So if they've got a contract for $50 now, that's a good deal. That will take it the money further. Were there any other questions?
I did find that that was actually another hotel that they were talking about that was in Boone County.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, this is Laura. I have a question. If Liz is done.
I am done. Thank you.
Okay. So in your memo, Sandra, it mentions that the shelter itself has 26 beds, room for 26 people, but they have had to cut back and they're down to serving 12 people via the hotel. Do they know what has happened to the other people? I mean, or capacity wise, are they getting contacts or having to turn away?
They're unable to serve that many right now because they are trying to stretch the funding that they have. And because of social distancing, they can't, you know, really kind of pack them into the shelter like they were able to do pre-COVID-19. So it's
right.
Just adjusting to COVID-19 realities.
But I understand why they're doing it. My question is, are they turning people away? Are they getting contacted by more people who they now have to turn away that they would not necessarily have turned away before?
They are having to turn people away because they don't have the funding.
Okay, and do we have any idea whether it's feedback from the AIDS police or just the communication networks of people operating in sheltering, that what is happening to those people?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part of your question.
Okay, do we have any idea about what is happening or where those people who are being turned away, how they're dealing with the situation, whether it be, you know, have they police waiting in, because, you know, are they camping down by the river? Do we know what's happening?
I'm not sure that we know that. I think that because everyone is sort of in the same boat with adjusting to, you know, unprecedented times, BRP sort of feels like they will get some additional funding, that it might not allow them to get back up to their 26-bed capacity, but it will allow them to address some of the needs that they have resulting from this.
I understand that. If they were at capacity before, which I believe they were, I'm just kind of concerned about then as we go forward looking at what ERP is requesting, and as you and the other members of the AFAT team pulled together information for what a funding, special funding request might look like or a fund, I hate to lose sight of that if they're turning people away. We still have people who may be sleeping under bridges or people that are not. Go ahead.
Sorry, this is Lisa. This is just for clarification on what you're saying. I think if I understand it, ERP is still serving people. They just can't serve the same capacity as their current residents. So some can go to the hotel. Because of how the current funding structure is, and that's why they're wanting a modification with the current funding structure, so they can have those dollars in the hotel setting last longer than how we currently have the money allocated. Is that correct, Sandra?
Well, because of the contract, they were not even able to go above, I believe it was $28.75 before.
Right.
And they were also, they would be understanding that they would be housing people in the ERP facility. And so this step today is really just the first step and gives them the flexibility to use that additional funding at the hotel and at this different rate. There are other, we're continuing to work with them and collect other information and so forth, but because step one, they needed, you know, that additional flexibility, I just determined that I needed to separate that other piece. And we don't have all the answers about that right now, but we're still working with them and asking them additional questions and sending out that survey,
gotcha.
Having them update their budget paperwork and so forth. But it was just too much additional information to wait for, and that would end up delaying this piece, which is a critical first step.
Right. Well, for here, they're just asking for their flexibility within their current funding to be able to provide so that they can social distance with the people needing assistance.
Correct. And is that only for 12, based on 12 clients? In other words, are they asking for us to free up this money, but they're only planning on still serving 12 clients at a time? That's really what my question was headed, I guess. And then the next step is what you're still working out with them. And then what about everybody else? I just, if they're down to 12, they say they're only going to funnel this money to 12 people, or are they going to funnel this money into housing as many people as they can in the motel, as long as they can?
My guess is that that's the capacity of the motor lodge.
Okay, Linda, I can't hear you.
Excuse me a second. I was assuming that was the capacity of the Ames Motor Lodge where they have a contract, but I don't know that. But I think we're going to get more. What Sandra's saying is, I mean, they as well, it's not just them. There are other asset agencies that are going to have apps. And what I'm understanding is that the asset admin team would like to have all that information together and get it coordinated before we know, before we, you know, so we don't just start doing this piecemeal and then find out we're out of money and they're huge needs.
Right. I understand that. I do understand that. I was trying to, just asking that question, was to head into that by the next one. But let me just say this and I'll be quiet. So it will not be just asset agencies that will need to be considered about special requests if they have a fund for COVID-19. I'll be quiet now.
Was that a question for me?
It was more of a statement. I think our needs are going to be beyond whatever the asset the team comes up with. They're just one part of what I think will be a bigger issue.
Okay, I do have just a bit of information based on one of the other questions that was asked. But this is a handout that will probably be included when we bring this issue back before the board. It just notes that the question was, estimates the number of individuals that would be turned away at 12 beds if they just use the 12 beds.
Mm-hmm.
And so the answer was that they had turned away through FY20 through January, they had turned away 90 individuals. And they
90?
90. And they also said that was they were turning away about being turned away about 13 to 20 people a month now.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly is a huge issue because those people are the most vulnerable, not having a home to shelter in. So hopefully, you know, yeah, that's one of several issues we're going to need to look at. I'd like to, if Lisa, or if you both, if you don't have any other questions, I'd like to just comment on the final paragraph of Sandra's memo to us. First, the action we have to be, need to state when we make a motion that it's in response, that our action is in response to the COVID-19 pandemic and it's for public purpose. We need to state that for the record. The second thing under this paragraph would give IRF the flexibility to use the funding. The third point, discuss and consider earmarking funds for addressing future funding requests related to COVID-19, which will also make expenses easier to track. My strong suggestion is that we ask the auditor's office to give us some recommendations on possible earmarks of funds, amounts of funds. I don't think the three of us, I'm really sitting here, but sitting in the various places we are today for this call, I don't think we should be settling on a dollar amount right now. Rather, I would like recommendations from the auditor's office on that issue. Does that make sense to you?
This is Lisa.
Who wants to go first? Lisa, did you?
I just said, yes, I just said that makes sense to me. I'd like to, have a little bit more recommendation or information from the auditor's office, and I look forward to having that additional information that Sandra and the asset team is collecting. And while I agree with Laura, there's probably entities outside asset agencies, but of the asset agencies that she is working with right now to kind of know what the need is.
Laura?
Yes, I agree with that. In fact, I'm assembling some questions that I wanted to ask Lisa Markley, about that, because I think that's a very logical way to go, is to have the auditor's office, let us know. We know already some of the money we've allocated, and then there's what else do we have, and what other kind of needs. So definitely, I would like us to take a couple weeks in doing this. Not that, Lisa Markley couldn't come forward, or when the asset team's done, they can come forward. But I really anticipate that it should be a couple weeks before we actually start to narrow in on a dollar amount.
I think that's good. And if we have questions as supervisors, I would suggest that we get them to Lisa Markley by the middle of next week.
Sounds good.
This is Lisa Markley. I'm good with that. I'm working on budget amendments as we speak and trying to determine how much there is that will perhaps not be spent this year. And then some other places where I think that we could look to dollars if we need to.
Is the treasurer still on the call?
Yes.
Ted, in that vein, you had said earlier that you've been talking to the banks and we're going to have a significant decline in investment income. Not asking you to give any numbers right now, but could you talk with Lisa Markley about that? Because that's another thing we'll have to take into account.
Yeah, we can work on that.
Okay, thank you.
This is Lisa again. Just so you know, one of the things I have looked at is we're already $200,000 ahead of what we budgeted on interest investment, so that's kind of nice.
Good way to be going into this.
That's for this fiscal year. The fiscal year where we're really going to see the changes for the fiscal year beginning July 1, because nobody feels
right.
Like these will come back at least for 9 to 10 months.
So we're going to have a balancing act here, and I think that's important. We need to realize that. We do definitely need to help community agencies right now get people through this crisis, and at the same time, we have to be looking at our own budget and our ability to continue to provide essential functions of county government. So will be an interesting one, Laura. Okay. I think we're ready for a motion then, unless there's anything else on this. I would entertain a motion or something to the effect of, in response to the COVID-19 pandemic and for a public purpose, a motion to amend the attached contract, or the contract to give ERP the flexibility to use currently allocated asset funding for sheltering homeless residents in hotels/motels up to $50 per day, not to exceed $10,101.75. So moved.
Second.
Moved by Laura Solson, seconded by Lisa Hedden. Is there any further discussion? If no further discussion, we'll vote then. Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Motion carried. Sandra, is there anything else regarding this we should know?
Not at this time. I do have some other information that I've been looking at in terms of what additional funding might be out there, and I'll look to continue gathering that, and I can share some of that with you.
Okay. We appreciate your work on this, and please convey our thanks to the other members of the Asset Admin team as well.
Will do.
Are there,
thank you.
Are there any other items to come before us? Hearing none, public comment number one. Are there any, is there any member of the public who would like to comment?
This is where there are no text messages.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And anything else? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
This is Lisa, so moved.
Second. Kevin?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. We're adjourned. I couldn't see you nodding, Laura.